News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8.07, Quinn Hillier in moments from quinnhillier.com.
Yeah, I want to let you know about a cool event coming up Friday and hope you can come out and join me. I'll have some FM Talk 106.5 giveaways as I'll be in attendance at Capital Tractor's grand opening celebration. They just moved to that location. It's just behind the VA hospital in Tillman's Corner. It's basically right off the interstate.
But okay.
You can get to it by taking that road by the VA, by Fusackley's, all those restaurants there. It's on Fellowship Drive. And Kubota Orange Day is going on as well. So huge savings on the Kubota Orange Days with special financing offers. They're going to have exclusive deals. And then with the grand opening, giveaways, live music, free food, and fun for the entire family while you check out the latest Kubota equipment. This will all be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday at the new Capital Tractor location on Fellowship Drive over there in Tillman's Corner, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I'll be there. I'll be checking in live with Jeff and Sean, and hope to see you out there, too. We have some great giveaways, including the much ballyhooed FM Talk 106.5 buckets.
Oh, they love it.
I'll have some of those with me, too. That's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday, the new Capital Tractor grand opening celebration.
Dan and Dalton, Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, on the line with us right now. And Quinn, this is breaking news this morning. We can give you a few details about it, but I know we want to get to a number of things, but also get your reaction to this FBI forwarding a terror plot at the White House UFC event.
Mm-hmm.
No clear idea who was behind it all, but they made some sort of statements, Dalton, that gave us a bit of a clue.
Yeah, so they said they uncovered this plot Wednesday of last week. And remember, the weekend was full of events for Freedom 250 that culminated in the seven-fight UFC on Sunday night. So the FBI apparently figured this out Wednesday, found a suspect in Cincinnati. And then through that suspect, I think, got into the signal chats and identified 23 people as part of a potential network of plotters. They were planning on flying drones into nearby buildings. And then as the crowd all left, have snipers perched to shoot into the crowd. And then a third wave, according to these officials, that would storm the White House gate. And the only information we have that would indicate who the likely suspects were. They said one suspect allegedly told investigators the goal was to target, quote, capitalist elites, quote, billionaires, or politicians who received donations from the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. So that certainly would get some theories going on who may have been behind this plot, but we'll find out more today, I imagine, especially once we start seeing some mugshots and some names. But five people arrested so far, and they said 23 people involved in this plot. That was a massive undertaking, Quinn, with everything that went on in D.C. this weekend. And then, of course, you had the claw that they set up on the White House South Lawn, where you had somewhere north of 4,000 people right there in close attendance. But over in the Ellipse, at least 80,000 in attendance there. I knew that security would be a big deal this past weekend, but it sounds like, according to the FBI, they were able to foil a plot that could have been really, really bad.
What's your reaction, Quinn?
Well, it's the first I've heard of it, and I actually will avoid jokes about the UFC itself.
You didn't like it, huh?
Well, not. I mean, I don't think any pro sports should be on the South Lawn of the White House, but be that as it may, thank goodness the FBI did its job. I mean, and that's not just doing its job. That is extraordinary to be able to find something like this and to head it off at the pass, as it were. This is that would have been obviously catastrophic for the nation if they had been able to make it go forward. I shudder to think of the horror and the mayhem that it would have caused.
Well, you think of everything that's going on. I mean, just this year alone, and how, I don't know if they're stretched thin or not, but the security of the entire country right now, with everything going on internationally, a lot of the domestic situations that we have now with some of these domestic terror groups
being funded internationally.
But you have the World Cup And I know Mark Wayne Mullen was talking this weekend. He said it's basically like 78 Super Bowls in a one-month span that they're having to, you know, be on top of and secure here. And then you have all of the other America 250 events leading up to and through Independence Day. We're not out of the woods yet. I would love to maybe one day see a documentary or a big story on how exactly this has all been nationwide, how they're keeping security at the levels they need to be.
Well, that's a good question, and I have fears that if you, of the sort that if I even mention them, it literally could give people other ideas that, you know, that I'm saying, oh, gosh, what if so-and-so happened, and just by saying it, some
lunatic
picks up on it,
because what I will say is that you can provide security for all these big events, but how do you provide security for everything across the country?
Yeah.
Everything.
Everyday life.
Yeah. So,
and in terms of these 4th of July things, I mean, wherever people gather, there's a possibility, as we've seen with all these school shootings, as we've seen with the disco shooting or whatever, these are dangerous times, and I don't know what to say.
What I want to know.
Yeah, the New York Knicks parade on Thursday. Yeah, I'm sure that's the
first ticker tape parade in the city in years. And, you know, are these domestic terrorists, and again, these domestic terrorists that we know and read and see are getting funded by the overseas interests and anti-American interests, and it's very disturbing. But we need to find out who they are.
Exactly.
They have 23 or 24 arrested now. There's going to be some names and mugshots soon, I guess, and then we'll have an idea who these people are.
Yeah. So we will see as that story kind of unfolds. And I know we won't dive in on the UFC thing. It sounds like you're not a huge fan of that. I lapped it up. I loved it. Thought it was absolutely amazing. But what about the World Cup, Quinn? You enjoying that at all? And a lot of these visitors to our country?
No. If I see one more player flop when he's barely touched, and you know, I mean, yeah, it's a contact sport. People fall down. When I played soccer, I fell down all the time because I was a little guy, and if I got hit, I fell. But I didn't act like I was injured. Yeah. I just got right back up and ran after the ball again.
Yeah.
And these guys, they fall down and they start acting like they're, you know, like their leg has been cut in two, and they're pointing fingers at somebody that made inadvertent contact. I'm done with the soccer stuff.
Yeah, man, it sounds a lot like the NBA to me. But
yeah, I saw that guy the other day from where was he from? He might have been from Paraguay. He was squirming around like he was giving birth to a baby. I said, I don't even think that's possible.
He may have been. You know, if I had to run that far, I'd be looking for the first opportunity to fall down and stay down. But let's move on to, of course, more pressing issues, and that's today. We have primary runoff elections. We've been doing this, our usual, you know, text line tally of how many people are turning out at polling places. And no surprise, Quinn, but our unofficial numbers are lining up with a pretty low turnout day.
Pretty low turnout day. Look, it could be because the campaigns have been so execrable.
Yep.
It could be that that people are so confused because of all the redistricting back and forth, and you've got three or four congressional districts that they don't actually have their election until August, and so you don't have congressional districts trying to turn out the vote. It could be that there's nobody good running. I don't think that. But I do say if I had my choice, I'd go vote for the New York Knicks instead of for some of these candidates. I do not abide by the idea that it is your civic duty to vote. It is your civic duty to educate yourself and think about your vote and then go vote. But if you haven't paid, if you don't know what you're doing, if you're just going on some emotional thing at the last minute, oh yeah, I saw that guy in the back of my head. That commercial made a good impression on me because he, you know, because he's against a terrorist.
Yeah.
You know, then no, you don't actually have an obligation to vote. you have an obligation to educate yourself first about the candidates and the issues, and then go vote.
Yeah, more than likely, if you're persuaded by a recent commercial, it's all about how bad the other guy is anyway. It's not about the virtues of the candidate himself. It's about this other guy and how he's going to take us down the wrong road completely. And everybody's really over all this.
Well, yeah, I mean, to believe the candidates, every single candidate in the race is Beelzebub, is the devil incarnate. And you can't vote for the devil incarnate, so you can't vote for anybody, because everybody has been labeled the devil incarnate by their opponents. So, yep. You know, what's the use? Now, we need better campaigns. We do not need people going on the air and talking about how they can't wait to execute illegals. I mean, really? Execute? Even if you're for the death penalty, which I am, you don't get on a campaign and relish in the idea of executing people, and you don't campaign on it. It's, I don't know, there's something wrong with the tenor, the tone of our campaigns and the seriousness with which we take them.
Now, who exactly said they were going to execute illegal immigrants?
Jay Mitchell, running for attorney general, had that commercial where he said, and, you know, we're gonna end them, whether it means sending them to the something or sending them to the chair.
Mm.
It was the commercial in the primary, and the closing line was basically, you know, we're either gonna dump them out of an airplane or we're gonna strap them in and kill them. I mean, give me a break.
And you know, the mudslinging has gone a little wild. Some of the ads are definitely crazy. But when it comes down to it, Quinn, too, and I know, like you said, you need to really study up and decide who and why you want to vote for them. But when it comes down to a Republican primary, I mean, there aren't too many overall differences in how votes will go. I mean, certainly there could and can be, especially in a Senate race like Moore and Hudson, although they seem pretty aligned on a majority of things, despite going back and forth with each other. But, you know, the differences aren't that extreme in a lot of these candidates.
No, the issue positions aren't all that different. So then what you get into is
the person.
The person, and who has the background, who has the experience, who has the character, and who has the skills to actually do the job for which he or she is running.
Clint, talk real quick about the difference. If Barry Moore wins, the congressman, District 1, how different his set of priorities will be and his job will be as the U.S. Senator, as he takes on Tommy Tuberville's seat. You were in D.C. forever. The differences between those two jobs themselves.
Well, okay. There's more to being a congressman than going and casting a vote on bill after bill after bill. Mm-hmm. That is obviously a crucial part of being a congressman. But there's also how you work with others to get your position actually passed into law. I mean, if you go cast all the right votes, but you tick off everybody, then you're not going to get your stuff passed into law. You're just not. If you don't know how to work with people, if you don't know how to make constructive compromise, if you don't know how to craft a bill so that you understand that just a few words changed in a bill can really change the effect of how it's implemented, and then be able to get those few words changed in the right way, then you're not as good a congressman as the person that does it, even though y'all are technically voting the same when it comes to final passage.
And as far
and then, of course, there's constituent service. There's whether or not you pay attention to local needs. There's all sorts of things. And there is, and all of this is tied in with your character as well.
So you, as opposed to the U.S. Senate, is that job virtually the same?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the job in the Senate is virtually the same, except that you have a bigger constituency. It's statewide.
Right.
You're there for 6 years, so you don't have as many immediate political pressures And you also have some different rules that you operate under that make it harder to get things passed, which makes it even more important for you to be able to build coalitions.
Okay, just talking about the two occupations or jobs themselves, in the, because Barrymore may be about to take on the new position.
He may be. We'll see later today who wins that.
Not according to Fox News.
Yeah, they posted a story early last night saying that Hudson had won. Oopsies. Maybe a mistake there. 8:22, coming back, we'll continue our conversation with Quinn Hillier right here on Mobile Mornings.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Quinn Hillier, our Tuesday guest on FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings. Quinn, the deal, the framework, whatever you want to call it.
MOU.
The MOU. With Iran, are you buying it, or what's the future look like in the Middle East now?
Well, as a whole bunch of people who supported, who have supported President Trump when he does anything, have said, if the MOU were good, they would have released it already. They have not released it. They are releasing talking points, but not the MOU. Look, if it's anything like what Iran claims is in it, then it is an abject and utter defeat for the United States. If we give a single dollar to Iran in aid, at least until we have every bit of nuclear material, not just promised, but actually in our hands, if we give a dollar without having every bit of nuclear stuff in our hands, then it's an utter defeat. And Iran claims we're giving them $300 billion. I'm sorry, if it's even 1/300th or 3/1000th of that, it's a defeat.
And what do you feel the same way about releasing frozen assets, or is that a different story?
I'm not in favor of releasing frozen assets yet, but I can see if once we actually verify, then maybe releasing frozen assets. Mm. We certainly shouldn't give them money, but frozen assets as a reward for actually producing. Remember, Reagan used to say with the Soviets, you got to trust but verify.
Yep.
Well, we can't trust first and then verify. You've got to verify first and then trust. And I'm eager to see what they actually release on Friday, but right now it doesn't look good.
I wouldn't be shocked if there's still going to be some uprising in that, and that just going to change the way we look at it altogether. I'm reading people that are saying behind the scenes things are bubbling up again, and then maybe there could be meaningful regime change.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Hey Quinn, what'd you think about the Knicks winning the NBA Finals?
Look, I've been wanting to talk about this for the last 2 weeks. I want to talk about this when they were up to two games to love, or to none. This is, look, I'm not a huge NBA fan, but from 1970 on, when I do root for the NBA, other than a New Orleans team, I've rooted for the Knicks. And I can literally remember Walt Frazier scoring 36 points with 19 assists and 7 rebounds in the 1977 game. So I'm not like a New Yorker where I'm over the moon, but I think it's great, and it has been wonderful to see the outpouring of emotion from long-suffering fans, and that's a good thing, too.
Yeah, they took it out on a school bus.
Yeah, they kind of got out of hand a little bit.
Jalen Brunson, the greatest Knick of all time now?
Getting up there close.
Yeah.
Close. He's got to win, too, before he's Walt Frazier, though.
Or Willis Reed. Thanks a bunch, Quinn. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
You got it.
8:30. A lot of voting texts on the text line. We'll get to some of those, plus maybe more about that terror plot that was foiled by the FBI.
Amazing.
We have a lot to get to coming up on Mobile Mornings.
Turn up your voice on the text line. 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. On the text line, 251-343-0106, a named texter says, I'd like to encourage voters to go out and vote today in an election where their vote would really count today. That's a good point, you know? Your vote is really going to count today because the turnout is as low as we suspect it might be.
It could be the decider.
Yeah, you could be the one. The Senate race has been crazy. I think we should stick with Barry Moore, who is somebody that we know. That is unnamed texter letting us know what's going on. Others of you have talked about the low amount of voters in one precinct or another. We haven't really fielded a texter here talking about a surprisingly large amount of people at any polling place.
Yeah, well, and some of those texts include more recently this texter who said, hold on, I'm logging into Kalshi so I can see the odds on the Hudson Moore race for today. But this texter said, voted. There were two other voters at the Shriners. See, we're at the voting at the Abba Shrine Center, I guess. Chris, let's see. He said, have you seen the negative ad Francis Holt put out against Joe Freeman? It says Big Insurance is behind Joe Freeman. What is Francis? She's Big Insurance with State Farm. Another texter. Okay. Said, question for Quinn. Why is it okay for Biden to host a gay pride celebration at the White House, but it's not okay for Trump to host a UFC event? And to be fair to Quinn, he didn't say that he was okay with the Biden gay pride celebration either. He really seemed to not like the UFC event. He said no sports on the White House lawn. And
I think it's, I read into that a little bit. He just doesn't like UFC.
I read into it. He just doesn't like Trump.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so. We knew that. But I seriously, there are people out there that of a certain age where UFC came along and it just kind of jarred our system a little bit like this. This is when the fight, it gets going when fights get called off. Like it's the end of the fight. In UFC, they continue to wail away at each other. So it takes a little while getting used to that kind of
Well, I mean, you have your violence. Your John McCain-style folks. Remember human chicken fighting, he called it. And in a way, you could look at Sunday night as a big slap in the face to John McCain, who was like at the forefront of trying to keep
that
mixed martial arts from being legalized in America. I think it's a beautiful sport.
Yeah, it's not. It's not a beautiful sport.
It's a beautiful violent sport.
It's a violent sport. And I've got.
Oh, there's so much beauty in mixed martial arts. You don't see it. It's incredible.
I do. But but the brutality. I'm not saying I'm against it.
No.
I'm saying what I saw when I first saw it. I was like, I don't know about this. Little did I know, and I think it was really a West Coast thing where it grew to be so popular, right? Mm. And just grew and grew. And then suddenly it was like lapping boxing by a mile. And you could see that the public opinion was, no, this is cool. There's something to this. I'm just saying to visually, for a sports fan of my age, it came along late for me to grab onto it. The people that were all into it, I was 55 and they were 15 to 25.
Right. Yeah. And my dad would tell me about when he was a bellman at the Opryland Hotel and watching some of those very early UFC ones, UFC twos. And, what it started, the concept of it was, okay, you have all of these different martial art styles.
Yeah.
And one that very few people in America knew about, jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which the Gracies ended up using to dominate men hundreds of pounds heavier than them. But you have your kickboxers, your taekwondo, all these different forms of self-defense. Mm-hmm. You have your boxers, your wrestlers, and just the idea to put them all together and see who is the better one. And now what it's evolved into where you have to be outstanding. You have to be 10 out of 10 or at least 9 or 8 out of 10 in every single category of martial arts, whether it's on your back with jiu-jitsu or stuffing a takedown or making a takedown with wrestling.
Yeah.
Your boxing has to be legit, but you can't just box because then you'll get caught with a kick. And it's just...
It's evolved.
It's evolved. But one of the things, too, that you're going to always have, and UFC kind of... I don't even know if you want to say they ran into trouble with this, is you have personalities that get a microphone that are true blue fighting men. So first off, you don't know what's going to come out of their mouth.
Right.
Second off, you have that kind of WWE slant to it as well.
And it happened the other night.
It did happen. I mean, they're trying to be faces. They're trying to be heels. Mm-hmm. They're trying to generate as much interest in other people to come back and watch them fight the next time so they can get an even bigger paycheck.
Right.
And it goes haywire from time to time. But as far as having it on the White House lawn,
I have nothing against that.
No, and the entire the way they presented it and showing so much love to veterans and the patriotism, and then to cap the night off with the American underdog, who they filmed his walkout to the fight, where he's got the flag draped over his shoulders, which I know some people have an issue with that, but he's looking at the framed Constitution in the Oval Office, turns around, works his way out and into the promenade and then down and into the cage, and then pulls off one of the most stunning upsets right in front of the President of the United States and so many active duty service members, Medal of Honor winners who walked them out. I just, as we tried to...
That's chilling. That's amazing.
And, you know, other people have pointed out, Teddy Roosevelt would box boxers. It was more of a... it wasn't, I guess, as much for show, although maybe he had a lot of people turning out around there to watch him box. You've had events not like this. Nothing's ever been like what he did on Sunday, but you've had sports in the White House intertwined for ages. You have the winners of every championship that are invited to the White House. Obama, and someone pointed this out, that while Trump's big birthday celebration was kind of an American event and giving this crazy event to the public to enjoy, he said Obama, for one of his birthdays, I guess, invited a bunch of NBA players, and they played like a private basketball game at the White House gym there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, is it really the athletics you're upset about being on the White House lawn, or is it just who has planned it?
Yeah. We knew Quinn's got very few good words to say about Trump, and those feelings run very deep with him. I just thought that part of it was the sport itself, that he's not a fan of the sport, which is fair, but absolutely, I do see the beauty in it. I see the way it's evolved. First blush, I was like, whoa, the fight's over. Call the fight, and that was the fight. when the fight
would be just started,
yeah. Right? You're kind of like that.
And to kind of compare this to the Biden Pride White House event, where in that, what didn't like one of the people, I guess trans or I don't know, but like flash the cameras while on the White House? You remember all of that? It was incredibly vulgar for this Pride event. And there's people that are making comparisons to that, of course. But to me, the biggest difference in what was put on the White House lawn this weekend and that event in particular for the Biden White House is you had people on the left, you had that were basically, when they would hold this Pride event and all these different, you know, culture war events, they were telling the American people, you have to embrace this. If you don't wholeheartedly embrace this, and they do the same thing with like the MLB Pride Month thing right now, where you have some Christian men on the San Francisco Giants who are wearing the Pride hats, Pride merch, as they were told to by Major League Baseball, but also wrote their own messages that weren't vulgar. They weren't like Bible verses and things like that. That were just, you know, noting that they don't fully endorse homosexuality, right? Yeah. So when you have these cultural events like Biden put on in the White House, they're telling the American people, you must embrace this. If you don't, you're a terrible person. That was the message. Yeah. The UFC thing, no one was saying, hey, if you don't like this, you're not American.
No.
If you don't want to watch this, then I don't want to associate with you. It was just like, hey, here's this awesome patriotic event we're putting on. If you want to watch, enjoy it.
Yeah.
If not, then okay.
You're so right. I haven't heard a bad review of it. I didn't watch it because
it was so late.
It was late. And
Paramount.
I'm 90. But I knew that I'd get my fill of it the next day, and everything that I've heard about it from people who watched it, just. And people of all kinds of even political strains from left to right, they just love the heck out of it. And now if you are hell-bent against Trump, then you can have your problems with anything. But the images that I saw from that were just some of the most beautiful images of celebrating America.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't... Now, we're going to talk about some people who evidently don't want to celebrate America because what the FBI turned up last week. But what some beautiful images, the flyovers, the
Marine Corps band playing them in.
Yeah, the Marine Corps band and also the veterans and people.
First responders.
Medal of Honor winners and people who have been right in the middle of it all being celebrated. There's not a thing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not saying I would say that, if you don't want to watch the fight, that's one thing. But if you're against the people who are being celebrated, I do have a problem with you.
Yeah, well said. Text line, how about this? Cato of the Causeway said, I was on the Ellipse for the UFC event.
Wow.
I think I know what it feels like to be a member of the equestrian class walking into the Coliseum now.
Wow. Wow, that is something.
Joshua said, Teddy Roosevelt lost sight in one of his eyes boxing at the White House. Another texter, as a veteran, I wonder how those vets felt when they were told they cannot come to the event because they weren't as fit as Captain Bonespurs. So a little bit of a Trump burn there with the Bonespurs thing. But I mean, do you think it's okay to have fat active duty military members in front of the entire public? I mean, say what you want about the military, but their standards went lax for quite some time.
Now, to be clear, some of these were active and some of these were veterans. Mm-hmm. That were,
and there was no fitness test for the veterans that were in attendance, just the active duty military.
I
for one, am glad that Hegseth is bringing back some standards fitness.
Yeah, and it looks like the other encouraging thing is it looks like the standards are being met.
Yeah,
it looks like people are willingly being recruited now back in. There seems to be a true sense of military pride again.
Chris says, I watched that fight, and that wasn't pulling off an upset. He kicked that guy's ass. Well, the odds, he was 6-1 odds by most accounts. I think you could find him even steeper odds than that. But remember, Gaethje almost lost because he got hit with a really strong liver shot early on and then was able to survive the round and come back. Squirrel Vereen said, notice how the people complaining about the White House show or about Trump appearances also tell everyone who doesn't like their gay pride parties that if they don't like it, don't go or don't look. Martin said, I didn't know anything about MMA until near the end of 7.5 years of traditional martial arts. I could have learned more in a year of MMA, but I enjoyed it all. And then a lot of voting texts on, too. Michael says, I was number 48 voter for the Republican side at the Museum of Art just now. Very light turnout. Didn't look like more than a handful of Democrats had shown up either. And
they don't much reason to be there.
Yeah, there's only one Senate runoff for the Democrats, and then maybe statewide more local races, but not around here.
You also, the U.S. Senate race. That's right. That's the statewide, and both those candidates from Birmingham, so no real local dog in the race.
And only two local races, and they're both in Baldwin County. You have Francis Hulk Jones and Joe Freeman, and then you have for county commission, and that's for House District 95.
That's right.
And then for county commission, you have Tater Harris and Brett Garr. So Baldwin County voters, Baldwin County voters will get both of those on their ballots.
And above us in Washington County, the race for sheriff.
Sheriff. Mm-hmm. Maz says, I was number 9 at 7:10 this morning in Bon Secours. I believe Quinn is letting Trump hatred color his glasses. Who in their right mind would believe anything the Iranian government says? I would be shocked if the MOU has those provisions in it and the U.S. would agree to it. If it does contain money, it's a disgrace. From what I understand, and so the entire text of it, of the deal has not come out. And Israel, you can imagine they're absolutely freaking out right now that they don't know what's been agreed to in this deal. But I think what Iran was trying to spin as $300 billion coming their way is the reconstruction fund for rebuilding a lot of Iran that has been damaged during this war.
Yeah.
And what the president has been saying is that it will be funded entirely by, I think they're going to get the other Arab states involved in building this out too, but also private companies. So Iran, and both sides are going to try to spin this deal to make it sound like they came out the victor.
Yeah, and Iran's been doing, they've been doing nothing but trash talking the whole time. So, I don't know that we get all up in arms about what Iran's got to say about all this. Let's let the text come out and then review it at that time.
Let me play this clip for you, too, because the big question really is with this deal, is it a better deal than the Obama-Iran deal?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is what this will be graded on, and I don't think it'll be graded objectively either. I think that the same people that don't like Trump and don't like this deal and didn't like the war and didn't like this and didn't like that, they're not going to like this deal, regardless of what it ends up being. Same thing for those who, you know, say Trump has won everything he's ever gotten involved in. They're going to say, oh, this is clearly an American win right here with this deal. But J.D. Vance, the vice president, was on with Hannity last night and was talking about just that, the difference in this deal and the Iran deal. By the way, Vance on The View this morning.
That's
Can't wait to see how that goes. Here's Vance talking about the difference in this deal and the Obama deal with Iran.
Obama, why in the world?
Oh, sorry, I skipped ahead here. Let's go.
Obama took a shot and said, I don't think this deal is any better than the deal we had before. The JCPOA was dramatically different than what you are describing here tonight.
And I'd ask the president, the former president, I'd say, Obama, why in the world, if it's the same thing, why is it that the Gulf Arabs hated your deal and they love our deal? They are the ones who are in the region. They know what it means to enrich the worst terrorist regime in the world. And they also know what it means to turn over a new leaf and to go to a different future. So I think President Obama, he should acknowledge that the people who are closest to this, they love the Trump deal. They hate the Obama deal. And that's maybe the biggest endorsement of this plan.
So we'll see. Yeah. Still waiting on the actual text and what it all entails.
Yeah, let's dive into it when we see it and then judge it from there. And also, don't you get the feeling, this is one of the things from the very beginning of all this, that I was not opposed to Trump's actions because I thought that he saw a chance to do something dramatically different and something that could really make a difference. But just those partners and those Gulf states in the Middle East, our relationship with them, doing business with them, things are changing. And Iran would have been the last one to knock off and get to be acting right over there. They're the ones that constantly disrupt everything. But don't you feel a big change in that region of the world that has forever been such a pain point for us? Now, I think they're seeing a future. I think they're seeing a future. I'm talking about EU and Qatar and all these nations are seeing a future with America, a prominent part of that future, working together. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, the headlines coming from G7 are that no one wants to work with Trump. And, you know, that's, of course, a lot of the same national media that has been poo-pooing everything he's done. But this has been fascinating, too, this week. And how have relations changed between Trump and a lot of the G7?
Well, they're not exactly buddy-buddy, and I can understand why. There's been a lot of harsh words, and there's been a lot. The differences in a way, especially in Europe, the way that they view their being a nation and the way America views running a nation and the way the Trump style, protect the borders, don't change overnight, protect your people. Europe stands for none of that at this point. It's 8:53.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
You want to know what the candidates have got to say? You listen to the Jeff Poor Show on the way. See this lineup today?
I'm guessing it's stacked.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got, let's see here.
I've got you. Catherine Robertson on to start the 9 o'clock hour, candidate for Attorney General, and then her opponent, Jay Mitchell, joins at 9:30.
Yes.
Then you get the Lieutenant Gubernatorial Candidacy Hour.
You got to keep these guys out of the same room.
10 o'clock, John Wall, candidate for Lieutenant Governor, and then 10:30, Wes Allen, who is currently Secretary of State, also running for that position. And in hour number three, you get the Senate candidates.
Pretty amazing.
Congressman Barry Moore at 11:05 and Jared Hudson at 11:30. Brad said, just voted on Texas Street. I've never voted here, and they're not being one person here campaigning. Oh, so no one's out even campaigning there. Chris says, Bethel Baptist, 42 so far, have gone in and voted. Collier Elementary, 30 total votes, took 3 minutes in and out. So not big record-breaking numbers in today's turnout.
Looks
so far.
Looks like a very, very, very low turnout.